Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, praise God. That's what I told the storm. We just begin to praise God this morning, too, this evening. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We just thank you, Lord God, for what you've done in God, what you're doing in our lives, God. We thank you for the opportunity to just praise you and to worship you and just to magnify your name, God. And God, the ability to tell the storm, God. We know that we all go through storms in our lives, God, and we all experience certain things, Father, but that's what I told the storm. Get behind me. Oh, God, we're just going to praise you, Father, and worship you and magnify your name and glorify your name, Father, for you're an awesome God, a magnificent and a wonderful God. Father, we just come together just to worship you, God, just to say, God, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, God, for even Christ, God, even in the midst of the storm, he got up and said, peace be still, Father. And, Father, when we're going through, God, and wrecking, God, in chaotic moments, God, and we need to get some still waters now. We need to be some peace be still in our lives, God. That's what I told the storm, hallelujah. Bills can't slay me, God, and troubles don't make me. But, God, it's all about you, Father. And I begin to lay in your hands, God. Lay at your bosom, Father. I begin to lay at your feet, Father. We talked about yesterday just being broken and prostrate before you, God, laying out before you, Father, and yielding ourselves to you and coming to a place, Father. Even as we talk about, remember why. Why did I say yes to your will, God? Why did I say yes to your way? Why did I say yes, I go? Yes, I surrender. Yes, I believe. Yes, I trust. Hallelujah, God. Why? And what prompted me, Father? But God, even in that, the power that you are so omnipotent, that you are so powerful, that you are magnificent, that you are wonderful, and that, God, all things work and all things consist because of you, Father, and the mindset that we have, God, because you said, let this mind be in you. That was also in Christ Jesus, God. Even in the midst of the storm in his life, God, in the midst of the beating, God, of the cat of nine tails, in the midst, God, of the scourging with the crown of thorns upon his head, in the midst, God, of him saying, Father, I thirst, God, in the midst, Father, of saying, this blood's for you, in the midst, Father, saying, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? But God, even in the midst of those things, in the midst of the betrayal, Father, oh God, he knew who you were, God. He knew what he was there for. He remembered why. He remember why in the midst of the transfiguration. He remember why he was there, Father. He remember why he came down, God, in the form of a man and left his royal robes, Father, to take on God, man, take on his human flesh. He remember why, and he said, nonetheless, your will be done. And, Father, we're talking about tonight paying the price, and we're saying the same thing, nonetheless, Father. Not our will, but your will be done, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, we thank you, God. We say yes, Lord, yes to your will tonight. Yes to your way tonight, God. That's what we tell the storm. You got to get behind me, storm. We begin to talk about how run, 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 God. Run on, run on, run on, run on. Oh, Father, we thank you right now. That's what I'm saying. I want to just say, I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad he lifted me. Satan had me bound. Satan had me down, but Jesus lifted me. Hallelujah. Had me confused, had me racked in my mind, but Jesus lifted me. Had me want to retire, but God said refire because Jesus lifted me. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so glad that he lifted me. Are you glad tonight that he lifted you? Out of the muck and miry clay, out of that dark place, but and put you into a place where there's light. I put you into a place. David said, hallelujah, thou restored my soul. You got a God that can restore, refresh, renew, set up. Oh, why? You got to remember why you were sanctified. We're going to, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm just going to thank you. Thank you. Just begin to thank you, Lord. Glory, God. Glory to your name, God. Glory to your name, Father. I'm so glad that he lifted me in, and I'm able to tell the storm in Jesus' name. But the next worship we have be none other than Pastor Warner going to give us words of inspiration. God bless you. Praise God.
Praise.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Sometimes we say, I want to be more like him. Hallelujah. But we won't take the time to praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah is said to be the highest praise. that you can give, but I beg to differ that the highest praise that you can give him is to give your whole life, your whole self unto him. Hallelujah. That's the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We pray. We pray.
Praise God, praise God. We just thank God for the word that came from Pastor Warner. That was a powerful, powerful word, and he just said, hey, praise him. The power of praise. See what? But I'm going to get into some words on that, but we're talking about paying the price tonight. It's 2019, pay the price. And we look at things that go through our lives, and we look at things that we experience, and my God, what would keep you from praising him? What stop you from worshiping him? What stops you from just saying, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I worship you. Lord, I magnify your name.
Yes.
Lord, what would stop you from saying, nobody but Jesus? The songwriter said, nobody but Jesus. And they begin to sing it, nobody but Jesus. And you look at where you came from and look at what you went through. Even today, what did you go through today? And he brought you through it. Through the mug of my, through the storm. Hallelujah. I told the storm. See, guess what? Here where we get it wrong sometimes. We understand that we're made in his image and after his likeness. And so in that, we know that he spoke things into existence. He created the thing by his mouth. And now you have that same creative power. You have that same voice. A lot of us be waiting on prophets and to prophesy to us or whatever. But God said, hey, David encouraged himself. And that's what I'm saying tonight. Encourage yourself. God said, you can speak a thing yourself. You can declare a thing. I declare a thing. He said, speak those things as not as though they were, and they shall become. See, that's where we are tonight. I always say this song. It's a couple songs. Lord, I'm coming up on the rough side of the mountain. Why come up on the rough side of the mountain when the word said, I can speak to the mountain and tell it to be thou removed? Or why say, Lord, build me a fence when God said, I've made you. Hallelujah. I be the hedge of protection. You don't need a fence. They can climb the fence. I'm a hedge around you. See, we got to learn to speak these things. That's what God is saying tonight. I've given you authority. I've given you power. I even told you in the book, I said, command ye me the things concerning the works of my hands. Then I go one further and said, watch this. I'm going to do a new thing. You can't see it. It's going to spring forth now. But you know, the problem is we're not willing to pay the price. We don't understand that there's more facets to God than just the all-loving God, the almighty God, the all-giving God. That's all we want. We just want him for all his goodies. But we don't understand that And if I partake in the love and I partake in the compassion, then I also must partake in the suffering. Like he told the disciples, they were like, the mother came and said, I got one wish from you, that you'll let my son be to the right and to the left of you. And then Christ said, let me ask you a question. Can you drink of the cup that I'm about to drink of? And they said, yes. He said, and you will drink from the cup. So here's what we're saying. Are you willing tonight to drink from the cup? You say, I love him with your lip service. And like God said, remember why. But your lips, hallelujah, he said, with your lips, you are with me. With your lips, you love me. With your lips, but he said, you have not let it go from your heart yet. And I cannot move until you let it go from your heart. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now. We praise you. We worship you. We magnify your name, Father. We thank you, God, and we decrease, Father, that you increase. Father, let your Holy Spirit have complete control of this word tonight. Father, we begin to thank you that you will instruct us, lead us in your way everlasting. God, give us, God, the direction that we need to go. God, give us strength, Father. Oh, God, and we begin to praise you for it right now. We magnify your name right now. I look over my life, and I know we always say about fear and don't fear. God didn't give you the spirit of fear, but I had to talk to my brother named Jehoshaphat, right? And we're in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. That's where we want to start at. And so sometimes I just want to deal with some emotions. How many got emotions? And you go through thoughts, and the enemy plays with you because they say the battlefield is in your mind, and we have our mind, and we have our will, and we have our intellect. And these are the things that keep us and knock us from having faith. But when I look at faith, they say that hope that is seen is not hope, or faith that is seen is not faith. So when God begin to talk to you and begin to tell you to do some things that really doesn't make sense to you, really doesn't add up, and you begin to go through certain things, and like you said, the storm comes, but he said, I give you a peace that'll pass all your understanding. So I look at some things that I begin to write down, and I look at myself, and then I look at God, and I look at the imperfection of me. I look at the fact that I'm, like I said, feet of clay, huh? Jaws of clay. That he began to make and mold and shape. But I look at myself, the imperfection of George Flint. And I say, I look at myself and I say, me, it's impossible, right? But I look at Luke 18:27, God say, all things are possible to him that believe, right? So I look at myself and I say, Father, I'm too tired for this. And he said, George, I will give you rest in Matthew 11:28. I look at myself and I say, nobody loves me. David said, no man, look at me, refuge has failed me, and no man cared for my soul. But God said in Jeremiah 31, the third chapter, third verse, he said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Yes. Look at myself and I say, I can't do this anymore. How many times I felt like I just can't go no further. I can't do this anymore. I'm ready to throw in the towel. But God said, guess what? 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. Then I look at the one last, and I just want to say, if you say, I'm not able. See, I look at my imperfection. I look at who in me, there's no good thing that lies inside of me. And I'm just not capable, I'm not able. But guess what God said? 2 Corinthians 9:8, he said, I am able. And he said, God is able to do just what he said to you. He's able. He said, I'm able. You may not be able, George, but I am able. Now I'm able, I'm capable, and now God, I'm the God. I'm the God that's omnipotent. I'm the God that's omniscient. I'm the God that's all-powerful, almighty. That's who I am. So I begin to look at things, and I look at my life, and I look at things that we've gone through. And there have been some times, there's been some troubling times, been some trying times. You know, this week on that, God, I need you to move, Father. And there's been times where at the time frame, you know, it didn't move on my time. But God always moves on his time, and his time is always what? On time. So I looked at Brother Jehoshaphat, just ride with me just a little bit on 2 Chronicles 20. And first of all, just the pastor wanted to say about the praise. How many know in 2 Chronicles 20 and 22, the enemy can't stand the praise? But see, between you praise God, why don't I pray? Why would I not praise God when I know that what it does to the enemy? When I know that when I read about Saul and he was troubled with a demon, and they brought David in, and David began to play the harp and began to let the worship come in, and the heavenly sound comes in, and then the demon began to have to subside because of the praise, because of the atmosphere. Why would I not set an atmosphere of praise, an atmosphere of worship, when I know this is what dispels the enemy, when I know that the enemy scatters. When you look at 2 Chronicles 20:23, say, for the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So they, when I look at the praise, the power of praise, how it began to confuse the enemy and make them turn on themselves. So when I look at when I'm going through some things and when the enemy comes at me as a flood, he said it comes as a flood, not a flood, but as a flood. So that means he can't really do anything. It's not really there. But God said the Holy Spirit began to raise up a standard and swallow it even in that. So when I begin to get to a point where I begin to praise him, when I get to a point where I begin to worship him, and when I get to a point where I say, God, not me, God, not my will, but your will be done. God, I can't do it, but you said you are able, God. So when I let you say, God, I'm at a point, Father, where this strength is not my own. When Paul said, God, well, I asked you to remove this thorn from my flesh, and you said, hey, my grace is sufficient for you. You said, my strength is perfected in your weakness. So when I begin to recognize my weakness,
hallelujah.
When I begin to say, George, I got it. I'll fix it. We all can say, I'm going to make it work. I got to figure this out. But God said, why are you constantly trying to figure it out when I've already figured it out? Why are you constantly trying to work it out when I've already worked it out? Christ didn't ever say, I got to work this out. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me. I must walk in the works. He's already given it to me. He said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first. Once I saw it this morning at 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the morning when I stole away from the disciples and I began to spend time with my daddy and he began to show me what I'm going to do today. He showed me the blind eyes that is going to receive sight. He showed me the lame legs that's going to be strengthened. He showed me the withered hands that will be straightened out. He showed me the leper being cleansed. And when I get to that point, now all I have to do is just walk in it because he's already done it.
Hallelujah.
But here I am. Trying to figure it out. Here I am trying to work it out. And I'm wondering why I constantly keep hitting brick walls and why now it doesn't make sense anymore. And now I want to give up when I say, God, I can't do it. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you. I've given you a measure of grace, and tonight it is sufficient enough for you. They told the angel came to Elijah, and he said, eat. So we came with the angel, we told him eat eat a little bit more because this journey, you need to eat now because once I take you here, and here's what God is saying now, I'm giving you food from heaven. Eat now, partake now for this journey. How many of you are willing? Hear what Jones said. Let's go back to the 21st. First verse says, it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared. See, look at that word. I told you, it's okay. See, we look at fear and we think it's just a bad thing, but guess what? If it points you, hallelujah, to the right direction, if it points you, see, we got to look at say who Satan is. And you look at Satan and we say that Lucifer, yeah, you're right. Guess what? He's God's employee as well. So he does his job. And we allow him to be the servant of God and do your job. But you got to look at how God protects and shields. We look at Job, right? He said, yeah, have you considered my servant Job? But then guess what? Satan can only do what God allows him to do. He said, you can touch him, but you can't touch his body. You cannot kill him. But you can touch his body, even allow him to lose his children, lose his possessions. Like that's what I'm saying. Sometimes you hold on to them. Sometimes we feel we lose those things that we try to hold on to and not just holding on to God because we have not let these things go from our heart and let it go to him. It said, where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. So tonight, let's examine ourselves and say, what is my treasure? Where your heart is, right? That will your treasure be also. So now we're looking at how Satan is God's employee and said, okay, and didn't even know how he was using him to bless Job. So sometimes we go through some things and we're like, oh, the devil did this and he's doing that and he's wrecking my brain and he's touching my finances, he's touching my children, and all these things are going, my spouse going, and guess what? God said, just steal away.
Yeah.
Steal away. So we're looking at the third verse, and Jehoshaphat feared. And we're going to that word. So I'm telling you today, I'm opening up myself to you. I'm giving me to you in total transparency. I had some things that, and I was concerned. I won't even use the word fear because God has not given me the spirit of fear, but I was concerned, deeply concerned about what's next. And it didn't happen the way I desired it to happen. It didn't happen at all. But God, the songwriter told me, I trust in God. Wherever I may be, upon the land or on the rolling sea, though billows sway, right, from day to day, my heavenly Father watches over me. My heavenly Father watches over me. Can you say tonight, I trust in God no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter how it appears, no matter how it does not appear. No. Though billows sway. My heavenly Father watches over me. And not only that, but I have a blessed assurance. I'm assured tonight that he's able. Right? He told you, he said, I am able. So if you don't believe me, you can go to your word, 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. So when I doubt, when I'm full of doubt, when I'm full of discouragement, when I, like Joseph, I feel I got a God to say, George, I'm able to do all things. He said, not only that, he said to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. And I can think some crazy things. I can think some outrageous things. So he said, I can do exceedingly abundantly above all, George, that you can ask or think. So it said, Joseph had feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast toward all Judah. Hear what I'm trying to tell you. See, sometimes that fear, as long as it sets you, look what he said, it set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast toward all Judah. So now when he declared this fast, that means something had to pay the price. And right now his flesh had to pay a price. Sometimes we don't want to make the flesh. We don't want to beat up the flesh. Paul said, daily I beat my flesh. I hold it under subjection. But we don't want to beat up that flesh because that means I'm giving up too much of me. Tonight I was studying on we're talking about the God of Abraham. They always say the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, right? So we know the God of Abraham is God the Father. We know God of Isaac is God the Son. But the God of Jacob represents that natural man. And that's that man, right, who says that to me, I'm supposed to be the one. I'm supposed to be the provider for my family. I'm supposed to be this and that. I'm supposed to be independent. But God, when he flips it, then you got to trust in him. He said, God said, now I go from being independent to depending on him. Lord, I yield to you. I yield my thoughts to you. God, I'm trusting in you. So that natural man has to be flipped. Yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's the thing that we wrestle with. That's the thing that the flesh does not want. He said, in me dwells no good thing, and that's what I got to give up. But that's a price you got to pay. You got to pay that price to yield yourself to God. You got to pay that price to just begin to trust God in spite of. You got to pay that price to say, Father, I surrender. Father, I reach my hands to thee. No other help I know. No other help I know. So as he began to fear and he proclaimed the fast with all Judah, they said, so Judah gathered to ask help of the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah came to seek the Lord. Then Joseph had stood in the assemblies, Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord, before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? I want you to say that tonight. Who are you, God? Are you not the God that's in heaven? Are you not the King of kings? Are you not the Lord of lords? Are you not the El Shaddai, the Almighty God? Are you not Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Nisi, my banner, my victory? Are you not that God? Are you not the same God that told me that I am God? I am able, and I got you. And not only that, I will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me. Then he said, I give you peace, not as the world give you peace. I give you that peace that will pass all your understanding. I give you the peace that makes complete and whole. Even when you want to blow your brains, I give you a peace. Say, hey, not so. And then he said, are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people, Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham? Are you not the God, our Father, who drove out these demonic entities, the spirit of perversion, the spirit of rage, the spirit of gluttony, God, the spirit, God, of addiction, the spirit, God, of of hatred and bitterness, God. Those, all these unclean spirits that have come, Father, the spirit, God, of covetousness, God, these things that have come to destroy me, these things that the jealousy, envy, God, pride, Father, these spirits that have come, these unclean spirits, God, are you not the one that drove them out and told me to do self-deliverance? Deliver yourself.
Yes.
As they dwell in it and have built your sanctuary in it for your name. But God, they're coming against us tonight, Father. They came against us, God, in every form and every way. But Father, you told us, God, if we begin to yield ourselves to you, and we begin to surrender ourselves to an almighty God, and you will be cleansing us. Not only that, your son said in Genesis, hey, when I'm not leaving you comfortless, I'm going to bring a comforter. And that comforter is the Holy Spirit. So God, when we begin to look at this thing, I look at how Jehoshaphat began to pray. And then after Jehoshaphat been going on and talking about the 12th verse said, oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know to do. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. I told you sometimes when you feel, when they point you in the right direction, it's okay. It's okay when they point you in the right direction. It's okay.
Yeah.
Now, all Judah with their little ones, their wives, and their children stood before the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid. That's what God is saying tonight, ladies and gentlemen. No matter what you're going through, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. Tonight, I'm telling you tonight, what you're going through tonight, the battle is not yours, but it's God's. See, I told my son today, I said, I'm at a place in my life where I'm willing to give up who I am. Praise God. For what I'm supposed to be. I'm willing to give up who I am. I'm willing to give up what I am and what I thought I was. And if it's pride, if it's my ego, if it's I'm a mighty man of God, whatever it is, I'm willing to give it up. I'm willing to pay that price for what I'm supposed to be and for what God has anointed me to be when I came out of the matrix of my mother's womb, a prophetic anointed young man of God on fire for him. I'm willing to give up a young man to say, I got the gift of gab. I'm willing to give up a guy that said, I'm slick, I'm a hustler, I can do these things, I can do all things. But God said, this is not what I called you to be. So we understand, why am I here and what is the motivation and why? Why not yield yourself? But tonight, I'm willing to give up who I am for what I'm supposed to be. But how do you get to that place, brother preacher? That was a place I shouted. I said, what is this word that I want to talk about tonight? And watch this. It's called Bethel. B-E-T-H-E-L. Now, you look at Bethel. We're going to talk about Jacob a little bit more. When you look at Bethel, we look at Genesis, the 22nd chapter. And it says, when Jacob escaped from Esau, he ran to a place, right? And he ran to a place in the 28th chapter, the 10th verse we started. He said, now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head. And he lay down in that place to sleep. I told you, God said, I'll give you my, he said, I'm tired. God said, I'll give you my beloved rest. You see that? He went to a place, and he was running this time. He was running from his brother Esau at this time. And he said, watch this. He said, then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder, an invisible ladder, ladies and gentlemen, was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham. How many got to the place where God let you know who he is in your life? In the midst of the storm, God said, I am your father, the Father and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. God is saying, hey, I'm telling you, get to a place. I got a place for you. I got a place of rest for you. I'm your refuge. I'm your portion. He said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You look at Psalm 91 and you begin to meditate on that word. I'm telling you tonight, he said to Joshua, he said, meditate on the word day and night, and it'll bring you good success. I'm going to give you a couple of words to meditate on. Get yourself in Psalm 91 and begin to meditate on it. It's up in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, and said that, lean not to thine own understanding, but in all things, trust the Lord, and then acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he will direct thy paths. Begin to meditate on that word. We so quickly want to say, by his stripes I am healed, but how often do you meditate on by his stripes I am healed? And you walk in your healing, your divine healing. You're in that divine place of blessing. You're in that divine place where this pain is no longer wrecking my body, because he said, by his stripes I am healed. How many times have you let that go from your heart? See, when you let it go from your heart, then God can let it go from heaven.
Yes,
he said, also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So here's what happened with Jacob, right? And then he went and actually went through this area. He went to Laban. This is when he first got the belt. But then guess what? We come right back to it again in Genesis. Please forgive me. Let me just be right back here again. Give me 1 second. The 35th chapter, he said, guess what? Return to Bethel. And he said, then God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make an altar that of God who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. So now I'm telling you tonight, return to your Bethel. And I'm going to give you some ideas about what Bethel is. The first verse, I said, what is Bethel? Bethel is a place of God's voice. So Bethel is a place where he heard the voice of God. He said, I am the Lord thy God, the God of your father Abraham, the God of your father Isaac, and now I'm your father. So Bethel is a place where I can hear God's voice. Sometimes we're in areas where it's so cloudy, so cluttered, and we're around so many different people that we can't even hear the voice of God for God to make things happen, for us to know what God is saying. We don't even have, he said, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. See, God even talked, I'm telling you how awesome God is. You remember in Revelation, he talked about the church of Pergamos. And he said, I even know what Satan's seat is, and you have not yielded yourself to him. And I'm telling you tonight, God said, no, just because it's around you don't mean it has to be you. Just because it's around you, it doesn't have to be you. Are you willing to pay the price of sanctification? What is Bethel? Bethel is a place of destiny vows. See what God told him? He said, hey, in this your seed will be multiplied. In this, I'm going to send you to this place. God told him. He told even Abraham, said, I'm sending you to a place. Abraham, get out of the place where you're kindred and get to the place where I have you. And he said, well, you see this. And it gets to a point that once you get there with God and you hear God's voice, you're so fortunate. You're so blessed. He said, blessed and highly fortunate is he. And what I'm telling you this is that when you get to a point with him, you can't even give your blessing away. Abraham got to the point where him and Lot had a situation, and it was too much, and it was going. He said, you choose the spot you want, Lot. He let him choose first. And then God said, guess what? Now you look to the left. See, all that, that's yours. You can't even give it away. Brother, what else is Bethel? Bethel is a place of divine vision. It said, rise the vision, not let the people see it. So, but what happened was he had a vision. Even Joseph and Daniel, I want you, for the next 30 days, I want you to begin to study Daniel. Begin to read the book of Daniel. Begin to read the book in Genesis. They talk about Joseph. They had a vision. And God began to bring it toward, even Daniel's vision was so that he was able to tell King Nebuchadnezzar, he was able to tell him the dream as God had begun to bring it to him, because he went to him and said, hey, don't kill the people. Let me go talk to my daddy. And then he gave him the whole dream. Then gave him the revelation of the dream. Because Bethel is a place of divine vision. And what else is Bethel? Bethel is a place of consecration. Where I consecrate myself to you, God. Where I separate myself to you, God. Where I come to a place of denial of who I am. See, tonight we're talking about paying the price. Bethel is a place where I deny George. What else is Bethel? Bethel is a place of separation unto God. So I said consecration, but now from consecration, I go to separation unto God. I begin to separate myself from family members. I begin to separate myself from my old friends and old playgrounds and old playmates and say, hey, he said, I've sanctified you. Not only have I saved you, filled you with those words, but I sanctified you. And sanctified me, I have separated you. I snatched you out and I pulled you from a place into this place. The psalmist began to talk about the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me beside what, ladies and gentlemen? The still waters. So Bethel is a place of what? Still waters. The storm been raging. The storm is raging. And but he said, I place you in still waters.
Okay.
What else is Bethel? Bethel is a place of enrichment and power. When I get to God, he began to infuse me with power.
Yeah.
And when David was in Ziklag, right? He said, shall I pursue? He said, go and pursue, recover, and take all. Because he said, guess what? I encouraged myself. I got to a place, even when my people that was there wanted to hurt me, they wanted to destroy me because their family was missing. They wanted to do me harm. And I got to God, and I got to the ephod, and I began to talk to him. And God said, hey, encourage yourself. And it gave him power. I see the power that Christ had, power. The power, even with Peter, when he said, seven go have I none, but you begin to look at this faith transfer. When you look in my eyes, I'm going to give you what I do have. And what I do have is the power that you get strength in your bones and in your sinews, and you begin to stand up. My God. Bethel is a place of the burial of the flesh. Bethel is a place of destiny's victorious battle. Bethel is a place of angelic helpers. I hear my mom saying, you got to put the angels, you got to give them some. They're sitting there waiting for charge. They're waiting for instructions. And he said, Bethel is a place of the angelic helpers. Bethel is a place of burial of household affinity and familiarity. See, we got to go back that, you know, sometimes you never know what happened with your great-grandmamas and your great-great-granddaddies and what seeds they have sown, and now you got household situations and my household iniquities. But God said, Bethel is a place where I will begin to cleanse you from even that, even from the generational curses that have been over your life and those things that see, because, you know, I had a generation where my grandfather was a preacher and a pimp. My father was a man that had issues, and here go George Flint, and I could have been the same, and I boasted about it, and see, here's the flesh. My granddad was that. I thought that was something. That was tough. Because I was in the streets hustling, that meant something to me. But God said, I take you to Bethel, where I begin to cleanse you from that, and I take that from your mind. And now guess what? Generational curses are broken in threes. I'm the third party. It ends with me, ladies and gentlemen. And that's how that goes. Bethel is a place of divine possessions. You got your prayer life. You got your fasting. You got your praise. You got your worship. You got your relationship with the Father. You got your place and say, hey, I am a kingdom citizen. You got a place where it's a divine possession. When you get to Bethel, where you have a nudge of saying, let this mind be in me that was also in Christ Jesus. You get that part of divine possession where he told you in Ephesians 1 and 3 that in spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, these are yours. You get to a place where you can make sure that your harvest and that seed that you've sown have a divine appointment because of the divine possession. Whew. I got two more for you tonight. Bethel is a place of midnight encounters.
Yeah.
Let's look at Nicodemus. He came at the midnight, and guess what he did? He went and found Christ, and he began to talk to him. I know, teacher, who you are. I know that you're the one with all the authority and all the power. But let me ask you, in the midnight, he went to go and encounter him. And Christ was right there waiting on him. So that was his Bethel. And guess what he told him? Yeah, I'm born in sin, sick, and iniquity. But he said, you must be born again. See, sometimes we can say, I was born this way. And you guess what? You're absolutely right. But that's why Christ said, you must be born again. So Bethel is a place where I learned that I need to be born again, not to re-enter in the midst of my mother's womb, but I must be born of the Spirit. I must be born again. And here's the last one, not least, but it's the tip of the iceberg. Bethel is a place of covenant breakthroughs.
Yes.
A place of covenant breakthroughs.
Yes.
And we begin to just praise God just for that alone tonight, that God, you put me in a place, Father, of breakthroughs where all these things have come in my life and all these things have succumbed. You got people that's dealing with perversion. You got people that's dealing with addiction. You got people that's dealing. The woman had the issue of blood, and guess what she said? If I can just touch but the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. See, Bethel is a place where you say, I believe, Lord, but help thou my unbelief. Bethel is a place where I can let go. The woman the Shunammite woman that had to help the prophet Elijah, when she began to say, here's what she said. She said, I only have this little bit of meal, this little bit of oil. I'm going to make this bread, and me and my son are going to die. Elijah said, if you let go of that from your heart, I guarantee you won't die. Bethel is a place where I begin to let go. I come to a place of covenant breakthroughs. And we're going to, I want you to lay your hand, the right hand on your heart, and whisper a silent prayer to God. My Father, my Lord, and my God, give me a Bethel encounter. And your son, Jesus, my name, take me to my Bethel of breakthroughs. Take me to that place of still waters to lie down in the comfort of thy soothing and sweet voice. Usher me to my Bethel of deliverance from household enemies and bring me to my Bethel of healings right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God. We praise you, we worship you, we magnify your name, Father. We seal this prayer and the petition and this word in your Son, Jesus' mighty name we pray. And so it is. Hey, we at this place again where you press one if you want to add to and take away from. You want to share. We begin to thank God for you tonight. We thank God for the word. We thank God for the education, the teaching, and the breathing. So if you want to add to and take away, you press one. I can recognize you. And we'll move accordingly. If anybody want to add to or take away, we press one and we move accordingly. Don't worry about it. I just open your mic. It's open.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I just want to say I have so thoroughly enjoyed this message tonight. And it has taken my mind into several experiences. And I just give God the praise of starting on tomorrow, the 1st of March. Our prayer line is going to go on a 40-day fasting your words. Fasting our words. In order for us to get into that place that we can believe God like Jehoshaphat, we can stand on his word and believe him like Daniel and David and Abraham and Jacob. They're no different from we are, what we are. But we've got to learn how to speak the right words. So we want to fast our words. And I've asked them to get a jar with a top on it or get a bank. And every time you say something negative, every time you say something wrong, put a quarter in there. If you don't have a quarter right there, put a little note in there, an IOU. I owe you, and you don't owe us, but you owe in God. Because what is raised, it'll go into the church building fund. And I want to encourage all you that are listening. We've been some places where people should have been all broken up and sad and unhappy because they didn't have homes like we have. They didn't have lights. When it gets dark, there's no electricity in that area. There was no water, no hot and cold, clean running water. They had to go to the river to get water. Hallelujah. But they were happy people. They were happy. Only the children could go to school, that their parents could buy shoes and a uniform. The others, if you didn't have it, you couldn't go to school. But we're in such a place with God, that he has given us more than we can even begin to imagine. But you've got to stand on him. You got to believe him. You got to stop being negative. When the prophets told Jehoshaphat what to do, to send the praises out first, Hallelujah. You could have thought, wait, well, hey, that's crazy. What can the praises do? We got to send the army out first. But that won't work. That won't happen. That's not what it's going to take. It's going to take you to get away from yourself, get out of yourself, begin to praise the Lord, begin to lift up his name and thank him for the battle he has already won for you. He said the battle is not yours, but it belongs to him. He's already done it on Calvary. Every sin you could ever commit, he took it upon himself. You don't have to walk in sin. You don't have to be nasty. You don't have to live in filth. Jesus already paid the price. And God, the Holy Spirit, is there as you speak right words. Keep the negative words out of your spirit, out of your mind, and see how much closer you're going to be with the Lord. Hold those scriptures that Pastor gave you, because those scriptures are life to your very spirit. I thank God. I thank God for that message tonight. Each one, Bethel, build your Bethel in your house. Hallelujah. Jacob, Abraham, they all had a Bethel. And they built it, and it signified it with rocks or stones. So whenever they come through it, that's their Bethel. That's their private place with God. Build one in your home. Let it be a place for just you and the Lord. Kalabasite. Glory to God. And see if he will not meet you there. I'm a living witness that he will. Because I tried him. I've tried him. And he's come through every time. He said, try the spirit. By the spirit. By his spirit. And I thank him for every bit. I thank God for my son and daughter. I'm just so, y'all just keep taking me up higher and higher. Hallelujah. I felt like I was going to fly away in here. Hallelujah, Jesus. I give him the praise. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. You're here. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Is there anybody else that want to add to or take away to what God has said? We know where that apostle just took us to a whole nother level just now, just saying, hey, just the sitting on the word. And then he said, get to your Bethel. And here's the thing about the Bethel is that once you're there, he said, the Father will meet you there. I will meet you there. Oh, my God. How many say that he said, I'll leave the 99 just for you, and I will meet you there at your Bethel. And we can talk it. We can talk it out. We can straighten it out. We can work it out. I will walk you. I will walk with you. Give myself to you in every aspect. And then you become my friend. And you begin to know me for who I am. See, at the point you just knew him as Jesus or the Jesus that grandmama knew or mama knew. He told me, they said, you, George, he said, you know of me. And this is before my life got to the Bethel, before I grew in him even more so. Because as a young child, I used to write songs. As a young child, I had a prophetic anointing in my life. But I abandoned that to be who I was. But I made a decision tonight that I said that I will, at any given moment, get who I am for what I am to become. And so in that point, when he began to work with me, he said, guess what? You know of me, but you don't know me. So you got to get to know me and get intimate with intimacy. And that's where I will meet you. I will meet you at that place, a place called death. So that's what we've been talking about. I need to get to that place. See, some of us would just pass by. We're passerby us. But God, I want to get you to the place. I want to get you to the place where you do well here. You do well in my presence. You do well at Bethel, where you can go to Bethel and say, God, I set up this tabernacle. I set up this altar. And God, and even Elijah, we always talk about the fire on God. He set up the altar and said, at your word, God, I put up stone against stone. And even that, how much of an awesome God is. He met him even there when at the Valley of Decisions, when he put water all around it, and God answered with fire. And God said, even right now, I will answer with a consuming fire.
And I will consume everything inside of you that's not like me. I will consume everything that's around you that's not like me. When you begin to let it go and let God, I said, let go, let God, let go, let God, let go, let God. Tonight I'm saying, God, arise and demonstrate your power. God, arise tonight, God, and begin to demonstrate your power in the lives of your children, God, in the lives, God, of your servants, in the lives of your people, Father. Oh, God, we thank you, God, as we're at our Bethel tonight. And we thank you for the Bethel experience. We thank you for our Bethel encounters. We thank you for our Bethel breakthroughs. We thank you for our Bethel, God, hallelujah, in time with you, God, where God, you give covenant breakthroughs, God, where you, God, have encounters, and where you, God, say, at divine appointments and divine visions, God, and from the vision turn into a divine mission. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you, God, for no longer that we will be subject to spiritual deafness, spiritual blindness, God. But our eyes have been opened and our ears have been opened, God. And our heart is open to you. Oh, Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you. Again, if anybody want to add to or take away, you press 1. I can recognize you. And if not, we can seal it up with benediction from none other than my queen, Evangelist Maria Flint. I don't know if Pastor Wanda want to say anything tonight, anything else, but if she does, let me know. If not, your mic is open, Pastor Wanda.
But my phone is not. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel a dance in my soul. Habashaka. And I thank him for it. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. He's a mighty, mighty good God. I don't see how anybody, hallelujah, could not praise the Lord. Hallelujah, behind that word. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. There should have been a quickening, an anointing, and an awaiting, awakening. It should have been. Hallelujah. And if it was not, I tell you, go into your closet. Hallelujah. And don't you come here. You fill it all. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. God is a good God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stop holding your head up and raise your hands up. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise God. I just thank God for this blog. Hallelujah. For this blog is God's blog in the name of Jesus. It's about the pureness of the word of God, the truthfulness. Hallelujah. And Armabah, yield yourself to him in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
God, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You need to be on fire after that. I'm to my charged up. But here's what we are before you hear the benediction. I must be obedient to the Spirit of the Lord. And I don't know if there's anyone here that has, have not made the Lord, the God, the Lord and Savior tonight. But I'm praying for you right now. Here's what God has said, that tonight. We're not at the point where you hands down, eyes bowed, but no, this is your time when you make a confession to God. If this is what you want with your life, it's an open confession. He said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed before you, before my Father.
Right.
So I don't let you do it in the closet, but here's the time for you to say, hey, Father, I love you. Father, I need you. Father, I repent. Father, forgive me.
Yeah.
What have I said or done against your will, against your way, that grieves your Holy Spirit in any such way? And Father, even give me the grace to forgive those that have offended me, that have wronged me in any such way. So, God, I accept you as my Lord and my personal Savior. Accept me as your child and your servant. And he said, if you confess with your mouth and believe it, here's that thing, that heart, believe in your heart, you can be saved. You shall be saved. And he said, he that the Son sets free is free indeed. And here what God said, I came to set the captives free. So now I come now to deal with every principality in your neighborhood, every power of the air that has been there, that has the spirit of rebellion, the spirit of witchcraft, all these different things, spirit of addiction, spirit of perversion, all these different things that have been in your area that has been tormenting you. God said, I come to set you free tonight. I come to arrest the Prince of Persia. Just as Gabriel said, I came with a message, but the Prince of Persia held me up.
Yes.
He said, I come tonight to release it. to release you right now, and to now I bind it. Every unclean spirit, I bind it hand and foot, and we cast it in the outer darkness. Father said, I give you tonight the keys to the kingdom. Take it home with you. Take it to your altar. Take it to your Bethel and say, God has given me the keys to the kingdom. So whatsoever I bind on earth, he has to bind in heaven. Whatsoever I loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, I have made a point that when I'm at my Bethel, that heaven has to agree with what comes out of my mouth. According to the will of God. And this is what God is saying tonight. You are his. He bought you with a price. He paid the ultimate price. So God said, now you pay the price and you become his. You come one. You come into an agreement with God with who you are and whose you are, and watch who you become. I said it in love. Jesus' name. So it is. This was his. He done just slept with the benediction.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I will not benedict tonight because the spirit is too high, and I thank God for that word. I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. So awesome. You're so awesome, so magnificent, so wonderful, so loving. So with that being said, I won't say good night. I will say let's rejoice. Let's continue to praise. Let's continue to magnify him. Let's continue to lift him up. Let's continue to just praise him throughout this night. Don't let anything idle be on your tongue, but the praises of God.
Amen.
And we thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I do ask that you keep each and everybody covered, Lord God. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord God, that we will be covered. We will be protected, Lord God. We know that we are wrapped in your arms. And we thank you for your love, God. We thank you, Lord God, for each and every person on this line. And we thank you, Lord God, for the covering, Lord God. So as we just not leave, but as we continue to praise. Now, we will hang these lines up, but God, we thank you right now that we'll continue to praise your name throughout this night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And to next Thursday, just continue to praise him. Just continue to love him. Continue to love on him. Continue to adore him because he adores us. And we will be at the same place, same time next Thursday, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Strong tower makes me say.